Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Welcome, welcome. Wow, here we are once again. Welcome to Soulful Solutions. I am Dr. Debbie Green, my wonderful co-host, Ms. Naima Latif, our executive producer. Thank you so much for joining me. This is a special day, you know. Don't you know tomorrow is New Year's Eve? Wow. Look how time has passed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like, I felt like the year went by in 6 months.
It did feel that way, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did. Absolutely. Well, we got a wonderful topic lined up for our listeners today, and that topic is actually proactive thinking and living for 2022, because we know that some things that happened last year should not happen this coming year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to kind of take a closer look at what has happened in your life and your actions, your behaviors, your thoughts, your feelings, all of those things that you know, usually life teaches us. What have we learned in 2021 that we do not want to repeat? You see what I'm saying? So, you know, I think errors and mistakes are there to give us in those cycles, doing the same things over and over again, not realizing, you know what I'm saying, that, hey, that doesn't work for me. Let me give a shout-out to our wonderful viewer on Facebook, Regina Green. Thank you so much for viewing us.
Hey, Regina.
Green, beloved. Thank you so much. Well, just sit right there, because guess what? You have to learn something, right?
That's
so,
right.
You know, as we go through this thing called life, it takes us through so many, I call high mountains and deep valleys. Things sometimes happen suddenly. Some things are planned. Some things are not planned, you know? And that's what makes up life. So how can we, as ourselves, as human beings, as people, you know, put ourselves at an advantage, more so as not at a disadvantage? The advantage comes when you become a proactive thinker. And you're like, Dr. Green, what is that? What does it mean to think proactively? Well, proactively is when you practice, because this is something that has to be practiced. When you practice getting things ahead of yourself, knowing what your priorities are, knowing and doing self-monitoring, what is working, what is not working, what is benefiting, what is not benefiting, and doing, I call, self-examinations, self-inventory. I think one should do self-inventory and self-examinations every time there is a major error.
Yes. Don't beat yourself down. There's a difference. There's a difference between self-examination and self-condemnation.
Oh, because absolutely.
You can look at an error and say, oh, I'm so stupid. I did it again. What's wrong with me? That's not really helpful. All it does is make you feel bad. But you have to be able to examine what happened without condemning yourself, blaming yourself, putting yourself down, but really understanding what were your motivations behind the decisions that you made. Were they decisions you made motivated out of fear, or the decisions made out of social pressure for someone else? But ultimately, you have to take responsibility for the outcome, which you may have hated, but don't put yourself down. Examine what happened.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, this thing called self-defeat, self-sabotage, usually falls right into that category what you know, what you are talking about. And most people actually go through that because they don't, like you said, they lack the self-confidence, but not understanding that life is only showing you what you need to take a closer look at.
Yeah.
It's not tearing you down. You're not being attacked. So don't feel like the victim.
Right.
Don't put yourself in
a victim
mindset. We are not victims of no one's circumstances, not even our own. Life is a gentle teacher, but a hard taskmaster.
Yeah.
And sometimes what it does, it will allow you to go through things more than once at some type of what they call mild, moderate, and severe. Okay. That means it'll give you these signs, all right? And this is what people and ourselves, you've been there before. You've had people in your circle, and they've done something, and you're like, you had a moment, right? And what you did, you didn't stop and think, well, maybe this is not what I think it is. No, what you did, you kept compromising, didn't you? Yes, you did.
Mm.
You kept compromising, and here comes something else. Because life is telling you, okay? And the thing about it is we have to not judge, not prejudge, but stay awake mentally. Stay awake mentally, okay? It's easy to prejudge something. It's easy to judge something. But be awake. Awake meaning that I am consciously aware of my surroundings and what I'm doing in my surroundings and how my surroundings is affecting me. That's what that is.
Absolutely.
Right? And so please believe there's no perfect way to do this. Being proactive and not reactive, that is the major component to life. We are always reactive. Soon as if someone says something to you that you don't like in a pitch, a tone, whoa, okay, there's the fire.
Right.
That fire is going to go ahead and it's going to burn before you realize emotional roller coaster. Now you've gotten hijacked. Okay?
Right. And you know where that comes from, don't you? When someone says something, they're triggering in you something that you're thinking about yourself. If your first response is, oh, they disrespected me, that comes from something inside of you that fears you're not worthy of respect. They've triggered something that was already in you, like the story you told about the man in the boat. And there was no one in the boat, but the fact that he and tell that story again, matter of fact, for those who didn't hear it, just so they know what I'm referring to.
Okay, I'm trying to remember exactly what
I think he was a man was meditating in a boat. I think a monk was meditating in a boat.
Okay.
And then he felt a bump, and he knew that someone had bumped him, and he was irritated. And when he opened his eyes, he got ready to, you know, say something, a reprimand to the person in the other boat that bumped him, and he saw that the boat was empty. So he realized that the anger that was triggered was something that was triggered inside of himself.
Correct.
And so every situation that you find yourself angry or upset at someone else, it isn't really them. It's something that was already inside of you.
Right.
Coming out. So a person can't make you mad. You are already angry, and it was simply revealed to you.
Correct. That's why it's, like I said, reactive. That's reactive, right? So when we are reactive to certain things and everything, some people are reactive to everything because they're more, I call impulsive thinkers. They're not proactive. Proactive thinkers is going to say, you know, you think like you're playing chess. To describe it, what it means. It's like when a person plays chess, they cannot play chess quickly. They have to play it with conscious thought.
Right.
Not even subconscious thought. They have to know, if I take this move, what is going to happen?
Right.
How is it going to affect me? Am I going to lose something if I do this? Am I going to gain something if I do this? And once you get into a practice like that, you literally create a new pathway in your brain so that it's not something you have to do with stress or pressure. You're training your subconscious mind to respond to external stimuli that would usually be a trigger.
Mm-hmm.
It would usually be a trigger, but it's not going to be because you're saying to yourself and you are what they call rehearsing. Mental rehearsing. You mentally rehearse if this happens to me, if I experience this thing, whatever it is, what am I going to do?
Yes.
How am I going to react? Because I know if I react this time to this particular stimuli, then there's a good chance the universe is going to throw it to me again. And it's going to be with a different scenario, but the same situation. Different person, same thing.
Yes.
Right? So you can't run away from it. I call it steady as you go. You know what I'm saying? Steady as you go. And as you you train your mind to be proactive, then what happens is all of these things that usually will bother you, they don't bother you anymore.
Right.
So you're going to increase your mental capacities to deal with any type of, you know, unsettling event, you're going to also decrease your stress.
Absolutely.
This is a stress reliever, y'all. It's not just a thinking component or concept. It is a stress reliever.
Absolutely.
Because think about it. If your nerves are really on end, you know, if everything affects you, you know, and if it doesn't affect you anymore, then it's going to change. So let's just say for the sake of understanding that if you were this person that was reactive all the time and you started thinking proactively, what would change in your life? What will improve? Everything. Your relationships will improve.
Absolutely.
Your workplace, your career, everything would improve. Let me give you an example of this. One of my clients, you know, were talking about using the proactive concept strategy. And usually she's a person that gets moved very quickly. So someone, she's a supervisor on her job. Someone sent her a very unsettling email, to say the least.
Mm.
And she usually, in the old mindset, she will respond by picking up the phone, calling that person, not even sending an email back. What is this? Why are you sending me this email? Yada, 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 yada. But she said since she's been in therapy, you know, since she's been in therapy, she learned this thing called power of pause.
Mm-hmm.
The power of pause goes with the proactive thinking, which means that even when if you're unsettled with something, you sit back and you say to yourself, okay, now I can react to this many ways. Now how can I react to this where it won't unsettle me and put me at a disadvantage, or even the person that has done it?
Mm-hmm.
So her next move was to not respond to the email in an unsettling way, respond to it, well, I was directed to do whatever it is that the person accused her of doing from a higher up, you know, authority. I do apologize that it was not in your best interest,
mm-hmm.
and if you have any questions or concerns, please contact that higher authority so that it can be rectified instead of taking it personally. So, and I asked her, I said, how do you feel? How does that make you feel to be empowered? She said, it felt good because I'm so used to getting angry and upset and frustrated. She said, now I realize that I can use my own power not to, you know, put myself at a disadvantage where I'm all shredded up. I call it shredded up. When you get angry, you stay angry sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes that anger lasts even when you get home off your job. If you ain't careful, as you're driving down the road, you're still angry going home. So you got to be careful with the emotion of anger, but also, you know, the reactions towards anger. So that's an example of proactive thinking.
Right. And, you know, people realize if they are constantly angry and upset, they're out of control. That's not a good feeling to always have the feeling that somebody else is jerking your chain and you can always have your mood altered. So developing the means to create your own state of mind, that's empowering.
Yes.
If everybody has the power over you to determine how you feel, then you have given away that power. Why are you giving away your power to people? We give away our power to people we don't even know. We will give away our power to a total stranger, somebody who maybe says something rude to us or cuts us in line or cuts us off traffic. And we're all upset and angry and cussing, and your whole vibration changes. You know, that is an internal biochemical reaction.
Anger. Yes.
And so
yes.
What does it do? Raise your blood pressure? None of that is healthy. So you've given your power to someone else to actually affect your mental and physical and emotional health. Why? Why? And we'll spend a lot of time, I've seen people do this, talking about it. How dare her say that to me? How dare him do that to me? And you spend your whole day in your mind cussing them out, telling them off. And you have let this person control your whole day.
Ooh.
I've seen people do this, obsess about one thing that happened that morning the whole day and be angry that whole day.
Yes, yes, yes.
Why are you giving that kind of power to people? Why? And, you know, some people will feel that after they've gone over this upsetting thing in their mind, and going over what they're going to say to them, and spent the whole day rehearsing in their mind how they're going to really tell them off, even when they get to that point where they see that person and they finally say all those things they said, okay, so you've done that, but like you just said, the chess move. What do you expect is going to be the reaction to the move you just made? Well, they're going to respond with anger. So instead of you resolving a situation or making yourself feel better, or bringing peace to yourself or the other person, you create a situation that is compounded. So now your response of anger gets a response of anger from them, which gets another response of anger to you. So it becomes a snowball effect. And who wins in that situation? No one. And you're feeling badly. So what was the lesson that was not learned? Some things you just let it go. Maintain your peace. Because if you can't create inner peace with yourself, then how are you going to, especially if you're in a position where you advise other people, whether your children, your spouse, your friends, you first got to develop self-mastery, which means not letting other people control your moods. And we don't learn, even though we keep going through this lesson over and over and over again, every action creates an equal and opposite reaction. So if you respond to somebody who's made you upset in a way that increases the problem by creating anger in them, and then they say something else that makes you upset, you haven't learned that you have to transmute negative energy with positive energy. And not only does it restore your inner peace, it also creates peace in them. That's how you empower yourself. And that's how you change your condition. That's how you affect your environment. That's how you affect your life.
That's it. Our wonderful viewer, Regina Green, said, our lessons in life repeated until learned are allowed to heal its pain. I love that. That's a wonderful quote.
Yes.
That's a wonderful quote. That is so very, very important that we understand. And I always tell people, stop adopting problems. Stop adopting. Don't adopt nobody else's problems and stop adopting and creating your own. Because when you say something is a problem, you are adopting it. You are calling it a problem, and guess what? It's going to turn into
manifest.
Yes, it will, and you don't know if it's going to be a mild problem or severe.
Mm-hmm.
So don't, whatever energy you put into it, just know that you're making the balloon bigger. Okay,
yeah.
So it is, and you know, life is like that. If it's I think sometimes we don't know, we are unaware that we are submitting and compromising to things that we don't need.
But what do you say to people? What do you say to people who respond with, well, yeah, that sounds good, but I didn't want to let that person get away with what they did. I didn't want to let them say that to me. I didn't want to let them think that they got away with that. How do you help people change that thinking, believing that they must address a problem or a difficulty or a conflict with negative energy? How do you help them change that thought?
Well, first of all, negative energy is then transferred. Okay, a negative can only transfer a negative, and a positive can only transfer a positive. So which means that if someone comes to you in a negative, you know, position or posture, if you transfer that to that negativity back to them, that's all that's going to happen, which nobody wins at that point. But let's say that you decide to transfer something assertive, even if it's a negative conversation or thought or comment, you can still be assertive.
Mm-hmm.
Assertive is not using aggression. You know, if someone calls, like, let's say, if someone demeans you in some type of way in front of someone and you become very uncomfortable right there in that moment. Now, you could just do two things. You could just go off like a firecracker, you know. And usually if you do that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to draw more attention to yourself.
Yeah.
You're not taking the attention from the other person. You're going to draw it to yourself. Now, you can handle it assertively if you want to in front of everyone, and you can clearly say, wow, that's an interesting comment. That's an interesting statement, you know. Tell me a little more about that. And, you know, and not be moved. See, the thing about it is when you keep your posture of peace, Nothing can disturb you. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's only if you take it as a personal threat when you come out of, you know, yourself. And most people react out of fear. Okay?
Yeah.
They react out of fear. They don't react so much out of anything. It's really because anger is a cover up of fear. If it's
right.
Especially if it's you know, severe anger. So, you know, mild anger is frustration, aggravation, you know, irritation, you know, those things. That's mild fear.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get into your anger and emotions, like you say, when somebody says something to you and you want a vengeful reaction or attack, that means you moved out of that anger area into what they call rage thinking.
Mm.
Now, this thing can take on many colors, to say the least.
Oh, yeah.
Many reactions. You know, all you got to do is look at your news, hear your news, and you can see that that rage took on action.
Yeah.
It's no longer a verb.
Yeah.
Verb, which is word. It ain't verbiage no more. No.
See, it's words
action.
That escalate into action.
Yeah.
And always, and sometimes you will see where people are trying to de-escalate and those involved just will not hear them. They will not. Because if one person will choose to de-escalate the situation, then you don't have a conflict. But when both people are choosing to remain in that state of, as you say, rage, and it goes back and forth, then it just builds and builds and builds until it explodes. And we see that all the time where neither person can get a hold of themselves and stop the escalation inside of them. Neither person can pause for a moment and reflect on, why am I angry? And as you said, a lot of times it's fear. Fear that this person is going to expose something about them or make other people think something about them or take away their status or respect in the eyes of others in some way. So in reacting to that fear, they can't stop themselves and say, well, rather than me mounting a counterattack, why don't I stop and reflect on, why did this make me angry? What's
mm-hmm.
inside of me that was triggered? Not, I'm not going to let them do that, but why am I responding to that so intensely? What is inside of me? And if we can do that, then we take back our power. But
mm-hmm.
when we can't do that, that means we've given our power away to the other person to control our emotions and our behavior. And who wins in that situation? I don't care if you cuss that person out more and use more cuss words than they use at you and call worse names than they called you and even threw a harder punch than they threw at you. You still don't win because you failed to master yourself. And that's what this whole life experience is about, self-mastery of emotions. So
mm-hmm.
there is no win when you could not restore yourself to peace.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we were talking about in the group room yesterday the target of life, and I want to share that also with our listeners. The target of life is actually the freedom of self-discipline. So when there's several components with that, you have calmness, you have intuition, and you have willpower. So when you use those components actively every day, you will notice that your boundaries, your limits automatically are in their proper positions. Boundaries is when we don't put ourselves at disadvantages with people, places, and things, and we have what they call a property line.
Mm.
That property line is
property
established
line.
To protect you, to protect you and the other person,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it's not something that's, you know, stringent or overwhelming. It is something that's necessary. So if you don't have a property line, which means that anybody can cross over and you can cross over into anybody else's life patterns. Life patterns for whatever they're experiencing, whatever they're feeling, whatever they're thinking, That means you have no boundary. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk a little more about that.
All right. We got a call on the line. We'll take your call, 312-671. And, of course, if you're on our switchboard and have a comment you'd like to make, please press 1. That lets us know you have a thought you'd like to share on this 30th day of December, heading toward New Year's Eve.
Yay!
Well, I've got to say, all things new in 2022.
All right.
All right. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses. And we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Soulful Solutions, and I am Dr. Debbie Green with our wonderful host here, Naima Latif, our executive producer. Our topic for today was proactive thinking and living, removing the old mindset and replacing it with the new. So we were actually talking about, right before we went to break, we were talking about what they called target of life, which is freedom of self-discipline. Self-discipline is a component of three things: calmness, intuitiveness, and also willpower. Every human being has those things. It's just, how do you use them on a daily basis?
That's
the question.
Yes. We've got some callers. Perhaps they can give us some examples of what they may have experienced in terms of willpower. Grand Rising, area code 312-671. I believe we've got Minister Robert Floyd Plump joining us today. Brother Plump, give us an example. You are an elder now with wisdom. Give us an example of an experience you have had in which you had to control your temper and control your behavior, even though somebody else was out of control.
Hallelujah. Grand rising, wheel and yashalom, ahua. We don't die, we multiply. Black is beautiful, blessed, and power to God and to the people. Your brother and your friend.
Yes,
Robert
sir.
Floyd Plump. Yes, ma'am. You know, you and Dr. Debbie Green is all on point, and especially we thank God for you and all of the female solution, for as I'm concerned, the 23 team. And the thing for us to all focus on is what you're faced with, every day. And the most important part of whatever comes or whatever may in a day and what a difference a day makes is using PMA. And PMA is positive mental attitude, which is another support to proactive of the most important personality of living, and that is you. That's why we're so thankful that we got the female solution, too, as we're going on into the new year for 2022 is being a success for you and the community in what we do. Also, you know, my ideology is promoting PLUMP, which is Peace, Love, Unity, Marketing People, and that's all different individuals, organizations, or businesses that's doing something positive to help the community in a way that is needed. What is needed? We all need to help stop the violence, the robbing, the stealing, and the killing, and the looting, and the negative things that occurs, and hijacking, and all of that type of thing. That we're not with none of that. You see, so we have to use the PMA and controlling the most important personality of living. Don't let nobody get you to be other than yourself. To be yourself is to be a servant of God. Dr. King used to say we all can be great if we just serve. So I thank God for the female solution and serving. And we would hope in the new year that you all will come and share with us and we'll share with you the success that we need to focus on, which is being continuously part of the solution. And the solution is the positive mental attitude, the proactive character. And also Dr. King, I remember him saying, we are the content of the character. So, and I remember Mayor Harold Washington said, if you got it, you got it. So the female solution got it. You got a part of the solution as a major, part of the problems so that we have. And this conversation is being a part of the solution, even though we do have problems. And I think that, you all are the best of the best. So we're looking forward to you all joining us. I know, Naima, you already are 23. 23 is like...
We appreciate you so much.
So
encouraging. We certainly do. Thank you so much. And keep doing the excellent work that you're doing because you always have such an impact. And, of course, Minister Plump has been a supporter of the Female Solution since our... Well, it's going on 10 years now. We started in 2012, so 2022 will be our 10-year anniversary, and Minister Plump has been one of those stalwart callers and listeners all these years, so we thank you so much. And we've got another call. You know, something that he said, which is, of course, a key thing, really is positive mental attitude. And I remember when I first heard that, my first job out of college was with Combined Insurance Corporation by W. Clement Stone, and you know, he was known as this you know, wealthy businessman who had a philosophy behind his business, and I had never heard of a person in business having, I guess, kind of a spiritual philosophy behind it, behind selling and behind serving people and behind making money and all of that. But I really found it interesting that he was able to capitalize and really promote his insurance salespeople in the mindset of being positive, being friendly, being kind. And these are spiritual principles to live by. And so if you have that positive mental attitude,
yes,
and you approach people with a smile, and even if they're not smiling, even if they're not positive, you will influence them. A higher energy can always overpower a lower energy. And meanness, sadness, anger, jealousy, those are lower energies. That's lower vibration. You got to bring a higher vibration, a higher energy, love, kindness, forgiveness, compassion, joy. And it does make a difference. That's what you
yes,
have to carry inside of you, a state of being. And people will feel it because we're all energy. So people will feel your energy even when you walk in a room. You can walk into a room with anger, ready to cuss out somebody, looking at everybody all cross-sided like you're mad, and you will change their energy, lower their energy to something negative, and that's what you'll get back, negative energy that you put out. But if you come with that positive mental attitude, if you come with that higher energy, that smile, that joy, that kindness, you will see it come back to you. So it's a principle of living, and it works when you work it all
absolutely
the time.
All right, do we have another caller?
We got another caller here. We got area code 773-487. I believe we've got Brother Kofi from Chicago on the line. Grand Rising, thank you for joining us this morning on Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green.
All right, welcome, welcome as usual. Another good topic.
Yeah, and, so give us an experience that you've had when you've had to perhaps bring a higher energy to somebody who was behaving negatively and how you had to control yourself because they were not in control of themselves.
Oh, my God, I got so many. I used to live in the projects, and I used to diffuse children fighting in my backyard. And it was a little young brother and a Spanish guy. And, you know, when you have different ethnic people in different, you know, they always pick a fight, you know. It's called an ethnic cultural warfare that we all are living in today. I'm sure we experienced that. And they were getting ready to fight, and I'm like, man, come on. And everybody else was surrounding, you know. They got in like a little circle, you know, and nobody was ready to break up the fight. And I'm looking out my window, and it so happened I had bought a sombrero at a thrift store a couple days before then. And I'm like, now, how can I go down here and defuse this fight? I don't know if they got guns or knives. But I put on that sombrero hat and walk down there, you know, black man with the barrel hat, and say, what's the problem? The Mexican guy immediately took a step back as if I was his elder because he saw the sombrero hat.
He had on a sombrero. Wow.
I had on a sombrero because I knew I had to touch some. It's a cultural warfare. See,
yes.
We have to understand that when we out here, you know, it's cultural. If you don't have any culture, you know, your defense is getting loud, getting mad. You know, you know, like a lot of people say, boy, your mama didn't raise you right. That's culture. You know? So teaching culture is one of the main things. And I tell people all the time that we are trees. You know, they say know them by their fruit. We are trees. And so when people come around my tree, I got to bear good fruit. I'm on a higher frequency. So when people are around me, they're going to see some good, and they're not going to get all hostile and things like that. I've learned that over the years. You know, it also says when the Spirit of the Lord is around, there's liberty. So mm-hmm. guess who's bringing the Spirit yeah. of the Lord in everywhere you go? You are.
Yeah.
I go into a restaurant, nobody's talking. And the rest of them, they just eating, mad at each other, just eating. And I come in that restaurant, next thing you know, everybody's talking. Everybody's conversating. But I want to leave you with this one story of nature that I saw about a couple of months ago, which was really intriguing. There was a crow and a hawk fighting way up in the sky, probably, I'd say about 500,000 feet, you know, it was high. And that crow was trying to dive in and peck that eagle. He would fly by, he couldn't get him. He'd go up here, come back the other way, trying to peck him, you know. And what that eagle did, that eagle started going in circles. He didn't even flap his wing. He just stretched his wings out and start going in circle, in a circle, in a circle. And that's what they do when they're hunting. They're looking down. They go in a circle. And that crow could not touch him because he was on a higher frequency. He couldn't maneuver like the eagle in the air and got frustrated and left. And so when we are in high frequency, people, if people get loud and say, man, you ain't nothing, God says a soft answer turns away wrath. Okay. I'm nothing to you, but so I'm something to somebody else. Okay. Whatever you want to call me, I'll be that today. You know? Because I can play the dozen with you. And if I say something about you, you ain't gonna like it. So go ahead and tell me a little more about myself, what you think about myself, because I'm listening. Let them know what you say doesn't affect me, because I already have culture, I already have identity, I'm already on this level, and in the end, brother, guess what? I'm gonna take you to where I am. So get it all out. Get it all out. Come on, get it all out, because in the end, you're gonna learn something today.
All right. Well, thank you for that powerful thought, Koofy. Thank you so much.
Thank you
know, that reminds me of what First Lady Michelle Obama used to say, when they go low, we go high.
Yes.
Because if you don't allow people to drag you down where they are, then they can't take you down where they are. And you remain up high, like that eagle. At some point, I'm going to get so high where you can't touch me.
Right.
And that's what we want to do. Always go higher and higher and higher and higher. And it doesn't matter what people say. That's why the thought is, I'm not going to let you say that to me. What you say about me doesn't change the reality of who I am. Your words cannot change my reality. So why would I go down and defend an insult that is not based in the reality of who I am? Once I start fighting back, then I'm validating your insult.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you stay high. Thank you so much, Koofy. We appreciate that. That'll be the lesson for the day to remember. You go low, you go high.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I always say, someone asked me how you doing, I said, I'm on top of the world. I said, it's plenty of room up there because everybody don't want to climb.
Ooh, I like that. Yes.
Everybody don't want to climb. And, you know, I believe that if you understand your own self-identity without your role plays, which means role plays, I'm a mother, I'm a sister, I'm a brother, you know, I'm something to someone, you know what I'm saying? But you got to know what you are to yourself.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing, because most people that walk this earth don't know who they are to themselves. Because if you ask them, do you love yourself? Oh, and you said, I don't think I do. I said, well, if you get up, and I always question them. I said, do you feed yourself? Yes. If you're thirsty, would you give yourself something to drink? Yes. If you're hungry, would you give yourself something to eat? So how can you sit there and tell me you don't love yourself and you've been taking care of you? So something's wrong with that picture.
Right.
See, what it is, you can take care of the physical person, but you can't take care of the non-physical person.
Right.
because we got components. We got the physical body that we feed, that we clothe, that we take care of when we're supposed to. Some of us even struggle in that area, okay? Mm-hmm. But at the same token, if you don't take care of the physical body, there's a good chance that you are very neglecting the non-physical part of you, which is your spirit, your soul. You know, it's the way you think. The things, the non-tangibles, you can't touch feelings. You can feel feelings. You can sense them. You can't touch a thought. You can think. You're aware. But you can touch your arm, your face. You know, you can touch all these things, the physical part of you. So what will make one neglect the non-physical parts? The non-physical parts.
Unawareness of how it's affected.
That's the first one.
Because you're affected in the non-physical even before you're affected in the physical. Just like the anger that results in a physical response. But first, it was the non-physical part of you that was affected. The soul of you, the heart, mind, spirit, that which is you, your own personal life force energy. That is what's affected before anything. So that's the part that you have to take care of so that all the other things will be taken care of. So
right.
That means being aware of how you are feeling emotionally and how you're reacting emotionally and what you're thinking that's affecting your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking about yourself that's affecting your emotions? So if you're thinking things about yourself that are uncomplimentary, unpleasant. I'm too fat. My nose is too big. My hair is not the right length or not the right texture. My teeth don't fit in my mouth properly. I'm ugly. If you're thinking all these things about yourself and someone says to you, "Yo, fat, ugly thing," you're going to get angry. Not because what they said was true, but because that's what you had been thinking about yourself. So they're hurting you by validating the negative things you have been thinking about yourself. If you don't believe these things are true, then them saying that, it will go right over your head. Oh, they're not talking about me. That's not who I am. So it wouldn't even touch you. This is why we have to examine, like we said earlier, examine the things that you're doing. Examine the way you're responding. Get to the root of the thought that made you respond in a way that was negative. What was inside of you that whatever that person said or did triggered that made you react? It was a thought you were holding already inside. That's what has to change.
Mm-hmm. There is another component of strategies I want to give everyone. It's called self-monitoring and orientating in the morning, orientating, you know, time for what is my mind thinking, what is my heart feeling, what is my body sensations, and what's my spirit telling me as I wake up. It's because the body keeps score, but it also communicates with us. The whole being, you communicate with yourself. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening? Are you neglecting? If you're neglecting, you'll know when something is going to go wrong. If you're putting something in your body that is not healthy for you, the body will let you know, I don't want it.
Yes.
If you're allowing something from the outside in, people, places, and things to interrupt the body's process, the nerves, the mind, the heart will let you know, I don't want it. And a lot of times when our decision-making and our choices don't balance, then we put ourselves at a major disadvantage because now you are going to repeat the same cycles. We were talking about that earlier, how one gets into repetitive cycles of dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I meant to say defective. When you become defective, everything in your life is defective. Because you're only looking from a defective lens. Your perception is defective. And when you become that, and now does that happen overnight? No, it doesn't. Sometimes it happens even during traumatized events. You know, when a person has went through something very detrimental and they look at life from a whole other platform as a person who did not go through anything of that, that means. So now they are, they could possibly looking for it as, looking at it as, oh, I am a victim. Someone's hurting me. I have to protect myself. So they build up these walls. They build these walls up, and they don't let people in. They don't let people in, and they sometimes become very prejudgmental. And they assume without getting the whole truth. And that's because they're trying to protect themselves. It's an ego defense mechanism. You know what I'm saying? And we get, it's called displacement. Well, we think one thing is happening, but really and truly it's something else. And when you start thinking that way on a regular basis, you're removing that proactive thinking altogether. Now you become what they call impulsive thinker. You're an impulsive thinker. And everything, if you change those lenses to be an impulsive lens, well, regardless of what the situation is, bad, good, or ugly, you're going to look at it from a defective mindset.
That's what happens. Like playing that chess game, just moving pieces. No forethought of what's going to be the response I'm creating. Impulse. Oh, I'll just move this one. Oh, I'll move the pawn here. Oh, I'll move the rook here. I'll move the knight here. Ah, oh, come on, pieces keep getting captured because I'm not thinking. I'm not foreplanning. I'm not anticipating the response that my actions are going to create. I'm just acting on impulse.
Exactly, and it interrupts the productivity of life. Certain things that you may have had the opportunity to take advantage of, but because you're looking at it from a defective mindset, that you won't notice an opportunity because you'll think of it, you'll prejudge it too quickly, and you won't be able to stay there long enough to see the long term. The long term and short terms are two different things. The short term is how it starts off. And it may start off a little odd. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm still talking about how you perceive thought processes in life. And certain things may, you know, look crazy at first. Most time when we experience something like this, we get, again, we go into the stages of anger. You know what I'm saying? We get agitated, irritated, frustrated. And if we stay there too long, then we get angry. And then we may even get mournful in that anger. Tears may fall because we're so overwhelmed by that situation. But if you did on the onset, which is before all of this happened, the brain has this 45-second rule. The 45-second rule says no matter what is happening in your life, if there is a negative condemnation or thought process behind whatever situation it is, if you take the time to jumpstart, which is proactively catch yourself within that 45 seconds before that emotion starts to roll over, which is the brain is going to, the hippocampus usually sends an emotional overview, and it sends you all the memory that is similar to this thing that's going on in your life. I don't care if it happened since 19, whatever. All the memory of the feeling, not the, so much of the roll tape,
but the,
of
feeling, the emotion that you had.
Impact that's similar to that, because the brain doesn't know. It doesn't know that this is 2021 and that happened back in 2000. So it gives you all the energy that you felt and it gives it to you in that moment. That's why people feel so overwhelmed and they're like, whoa. And then
like
you have
reliving something.
Why are you so upset?
You're reliving a feeling from something that happened before. It's not really this thing. It's all the feelings that are similar to this compounded. So, yes, it's overwhelming. And this is sometimes what people, if you can catch, you got to change your mind in 45 seconds before you relive that memory.
Yes, it's a long time. 45 seconds is a long time. It's just that we're not paying attention.
Because
the brain can only occupy one thing at a time. It may seem like you are going from this to this to this. No, no, you picked one. Believe me. It's just like sitting at a window when you see cars, you know, flying by. If you know, you can't look at every car. You know what I'm saying? I don't care that they're moving, you know, 10 or 15 miles an hour. You gonna, one of those gonna catch your eyes, and you gonna look at that one. And before you realize it, oh, now you're looking at another one. Because the brain can only occupy one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
We are the ones that want to be multitaskful and multi, you know, I call it multi-problematic.
So the key is to pay attention and change your mind.
Do one thing at a
time. That thought catches hold.
All right, so do we need to go to another break?
Yep, time for our next break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. And press 1 when you get on our switchboards. That'll light your number up, and we'll know you have something to say. We'll open your mic and get your thoughts. And if you're watching us live on Facebook, feel free to write in your comments. We'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we will be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green, and I'm Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host, Naima Lateef, my executive producer. Our topic today is proactive thinking and living for 2022.
Yeah.
Okay, this is real, y'all, you know what I'm saying? What didn't work last year? And you know whatever it is, whatever actions or habits that you might have had that did not benefit you, guess what? It's time to change. I also want to go over what they call a 21-day challenge for you.
Ah, that should be interesting, the 21-day challenge.
21 days. So for the sake of our 2022, I'm just going to add one more day.
Mm.
Our 22-day challenge, okay?
3 weeks in a day.
Challenge. That's right. That's right. So for 22 consecutive, consistent days, you practice putting things in order as far as different thoughts and different actions, removing the negative actions that did not benefit you, especially in 2021 or before. You know, looking at different ways to respond. Instead of totally reacting, if you will have a low tolerance, let's build up that tolerance. Let's build that tolerance. If you had a low willpower, if there's an addiction that you no longer want, a people addiction, a drug addiction, alcohol, whatever, street drugs, guess what? This will be excellent for you. 22 days of consistent saying that is not an option.
Now, I have a question. What about if someone is in a relationship, person's in their home, so they interact all the time, you can't get away from them, but there's always some level of argument. Somehow you all keep doing the same things. They say something, you get mad, you snap back, they get mad, they snap back, and you find yourself kind of stuck in this pattern of interacting with this person that's in your midst. So you can't leave the situation, you're living with it, and yet you don't want to keep this pattern of conflict going, and your thought has been, perhaps maybe the last year or the last several years maybe, been, if they would just stop acting this way, then we wouldn't have a problem. But you can't change their behavior. So how can people learn to do something different to change the ongoing outcome that they keep getting of conflict with that person that's in their midst?
Well, we have to know that people don't change people. People change themselves.
Mm.
Okay, so whatever actions that they are, you know, sending to you, actions such as behavior, word, body language, you know, whatever that is, lingo, the question is, are you believing it? Do you have belief in it? And if you do have belief in it, are you intimidated by it? Is there some fear there? Do you find an imminent threat by the way they act, the way they say their words, the way they, you know, their posture? Because if you are fearing it, this is the reason why you are reacting the same way every time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only way to deal with something like that, Naima, is to change the response.
Mm.
I have a patient that I've been working with that has the same situation that's going on. This person is in the home and they are not very polite. They're always attacking with their words in some capacity, be it name calling or putting you down verbally. Trying to make
that's
you feel less than a person.
Yeah.
Okay? And it was so severe to the point where it drove this person into major depression.
Mm.
And because this was this was a spouse.
Oh, yeah, that's
okay.
Definitely somebody you can't ignore.
Right, this was a spouse that, and the spouse was actually terminally ill.
Mm. Wow.
So.
A lot of emotions there. Yeah.
There's a lot of emotions there. There's a
anger.
Lot of things that's happening.
Yeah.
So the only way that she could protect herself is to know that that pain that he is projecting is not hers.
Mm.
It's
and
not
that's,
hers.
That's a very difficult situation because I know I've lived with a terminally ill spouse. I know that they go through a lot of emotions. You know, one thing about that, it's not like a sudden unexpected passing, like an auto accident or a heart attack or something where, you know, here today and gone today, you know. But it's a lingering time where this person is reflecting on their life, their regrets, and you're the person closest to them. You're going to experience all of those intense feelings that they have as they're going through the mental preparation of leaving here. And depending on whatever their faith or belief system may be, they may be resigned to it, they may be resistant to it, they may be angry about it, they may be blaming you for whatever didn't manifest in their lives. And so you're experiencing all of their emotions as they go through this, and if they're your spouse, that means there's an intimacy there that's unique between you and them that doesn't exist with anyone else in the world. So you're going to feel all of the intensity of their emotions. That's a challenge.
Oh, it is. It is. And it takes practice. That's why it's something that you have to do every day. And you don't, and you know, it may be a day that you don't hear anything. It may be a day that you don't have the conflict, but you still have to do it. And you have to say, you know, to yourself, I'm not going to respond to something that I don't believe is true.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be something you say outwardly, you know, to yourself, and whatever that person is saying, that's how you're going to react. I don't believe that's true, so you're not calling me that. I'm not that person. So I don't know who you're talking to. You can say whatever you want to say, but I chose to believe who I am. I chose that. So, which means I'm not going to answer to what you are calling me.
That's right.
Or thinking about me, or whatever it is.
Right.
I have all the authority and all the power within myself to say, you know,
that's
I'm sorry. That's not who I am.
So I don't need to respond.
I will let you sit there and you can talk your face blue. You can talk your face blue because I'm not going to, you're not going to stir me with your words. Like they said, you can call me everything but a child of God. It's okay. Do what you got to do. And I'm just going to sit there and look at you because the thing about it is if I respond in any way of being a victim, I'm going to feed that energy.
That's
and it's
right.
going to keep happening.
And it will keep happening. That's the lesson to be learned. If
yes.
you feed it, you keep
it's
happening.
It's going to keep happening. If you want to stop
yes.
something, stop feeding
stop
it.
Stop feeding it. Stop feeding
and
it.
And that's abuse anyway. So first of all, you know, if you're in an abusive situation, verbally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, all right, you, if you're feeding that, it's going to continue.
Yeah.
It so at some given point, you have to say, enough is enough, and move on.
That's
and
nice.
Let your responses, you know, be heard. Don't you know you can respond and actively listen? But most of all, you can respond non-verbally and say a whole lot.
That's true.
You don't have to open your mouth and speak. There's nothing written down that you have to open your mouth and speak to anyone. And believe me, if it's something that you want to say, you say it assertively so you don't suppress feelings. You can say, okay. Thank you for what you are saying. Thank you for what you think I am. Thank you. I appreciate you giving me your opinion of me. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not receiving that. And I'm sorry you may not agree with me. You may want me to get affected. You may want me to get angry. You may want me to feel disappointed or feel hurt. But guess what? As for me, myself, and I, the only way I can totally eliminate that is to not accept it as truth. And it's not my truth. I'm so sorry to tell you. I'll tell you, It is not an option for me to allow that to permeate my being. So you go ahead, do what you want to do, say what you want to say. I'm just going to let you know I ain't on your rah-rah team.
But, you know, something that I've seen, and maybe this is difficult for people, because some men have told me this is the way they handle it if you know, the women in their lives are angry and upset and screaming and wanting to provoke an argument, and they'll say, I'll just get quiet and walk away. And sometimes that enrages her even more that he doesn't respond in kind. How would you advise couples who have that kind of an interaction and it's not resolving the problem where she's angry because he's not addressing it? He chooses not to be drawn into that kind of negative energy. She's seeing is that he doesn't care, so I'm going to intensify my attack. How does a couple stop that pattern?
Again, assertive communication. That's the only way, because everything is taken personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're taking everything personal, you're not assertive, because now you're either angry, you're just affected. You know, your nervous system is at, you know, at, oh my goodness, wired. You just supernaturally, you are on edge.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is going to bother you. I don't care leaving the top off of the juice bottle, you know, leaving the top off the toothpaste, hair in the sink. When I tell you everything is going to bother you. And that's just the small things. So when the big things come, you really have, you know, build yourself up to the point where you're going to explode. And with couples, I find very interesting, now, especially couples that have this communication breakdown where no one understands each other or wants to give any other, that no one understands each other and doesn't want to give each other an understanding.
Mm. So in that case, the non-communication, well, basically is what it is non-communication. One that's communicating in a way that is hostile and aggressive, and the other one is simply not responding, but it doesn't resolve the conflict. So like you say, you see situations where everything becomes a cause for conflict. Oh, you left hair in the sink after you shaved. Well, you know, you left your stockings hanging over the shower rail, or you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you left the top off on the toothpaste, you know, all kinds of little things. But what it really is, a bigger thing that they're not able to talk about. So how does a couple get to a point where they can address what the real thing is? It might be, I feel like you don't pay me enough attention. It might be, I feel like you're not supportive enough of me. You know, maybe I had this big thing I wanted you to come to and you didn't. Or maybe it might be, you know, I'm concerned because you're gone a lot. Are you seeing someone else and I don't know about it? It might be any number of those things that don't get said out loud, but it's masked by other little areas of attack. And if there's an attack and no response, then the attack intensifies because the thing that's being attacked isn't really the thing. It's the other thing that isn't being talked about because they're not talking. So how does that pattern get changed?
Well, again, we have to find out what the other partner thinks about the other partner. Or in other words, usually you ask them, you know, if you have them both together, you ask them a question. Okay, what's your, you know, view of this person that's sitting in front of you? Mm-hmm. And truthfully, you have to tell them to tell the truth, regardless if they think they're going to hurt them or affect them in any way. And what do you really think about this person?
Mm-hmm.
And let that come out. And then the other person does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do the comparison, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say a person, like the man says to the woman or whatever, you know, I just think that, you know, you're not a good housekeeper. I think that you have these issues and cleanliness, and you are not, you know, just really telling her what he thinks about her. You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying? And she then says, well, I don't think you're a good husband. I don't think you're good in bed. I don't think you're this. And I don't think, you know, telling him what he thinks about him.
Wow.
So at this point, then it goes to a comparison. And when all that comes out like that, honestly, then those two individuals can honestly say, you know, this is really what I think of you. It's not that I don't love you. I think these are your flaws that need to be adjusted. These flaws need to be changed. Because one thing about, you know, flaws that are left untreated, let me say it like that. If they let, like, if a person really doesn't keep a clean house,
mm-hmm.
right? All right? So it's not that they're dysfunctional. They're flawed. They just don't, they don't find it as important as it would be a person that does.
Right. And that's the thing. Some people don't find the same things important. But if you find something important, such as cleaning this order, you know, and they don't, then that's a problem because they might say, you're making such a big deal out of it. Yeah, well, for me, it is a big deal. I don't want to come home to, you know, dirty footprints still on the floor. I want it mopped. You know, that's how hard is that? So you can have those things if you have different standards. So how does one decide whether or not the other person's standards are too high, too unreachable, unreasonable, or how does one decide if someone's standards are too low, where you don't care enough about things that matter to change, so we keep having this conflict? How do you decide when those are the things that keep coming up and keep being a cause of conflict, and like you say, that this person is a good person, but these negative things are irritating?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way that a couple can acknowledge the good and say, okay, now these are the good things. These are the reasons why we're staying together. These are reasons why you're in my life. But now these are these other things that are aggravating. How do we fix this so that we're not making each other uncomfortable? Or do we just decide, well, I just won't have a clean house unless I clean it myself, or I just won't have, you know, a fulfilling sex life, which, yeah, that doesn't work too good in your couple. I mean, how does a person, how do two people resolve those things that make them angry or resentful or whatever the case may be when those things keep coming up in that relationship?
Well, again, proactive thinking is this. When you begin a relationship with anyone, whether it's with a man, a woman, or whatever the case may be, and, you know, honesty is really the best policy. Most people don't want to be honest, okay? They don't want to say, you know, what's going on. I think within the honeymoon stage, meet and greet, no. You may not want to give all your trinkets to that person, you know what I'm saying? But as you get to know them, then this is when the comparison comes in at. Otherwise, what happens is, if you're not honest later on in that relationship and something else comes up and you move in with that person, you get married, and they say, well, why? You ain't never told me you was like this.
Yeah.
You ain't never expressed this to me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so, you know, like as Vienna Robinson says, that's one of our viewers, yes, Dr. Debbie, let's promote and encourage honesty.
Mm.
And, you know, all our viewers may not feel that way because Zelda, Queen Z, Grand Rising Beautiful Queen says, Dons, speaking truth about personal flaws often causes even more chaos and separation or divorce. That's only if it's not proactive. You're right. If you're already in the relationship for a period of time and then something comes out, yes, if you don't have an even keel relationship, yes, it will cause some type of separation of divorce because of just what I said. They're going to say, why didn't you tell me this? I don't understand. You know, I thought you cared about me, so why was you not honest with me from the get-go?
But you didn't like this about me, and you knew I had this trait.
Yes.
And so now you're attacking it. Well,
exactly.
Is there a way to address honestly something that you would like someone to adjust about themselves that would make the relationship better without it sounding like an attack or a hurtful criticism?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is called, again, that you're sensitive to the situation. And you come in all truth and love, and you just let them know, you know, this thing that I'm going through, I want to share with you. And it's up to you, and I understand if you don't agree with it or if you do agree with it, but I just think it's something you need to know because I care enough about the relationship to let you know this. Now, if you choose to do something different from this point on, I have no other choice but to accept that because if I don't tell you and then you find out some other way, then it's still going to affect you in some, you know, in some pattern. Because one thing about, we do know this, whatever's done in the dark shall come to light. A lot of people hide a lot of things from other people. But I've seen 40-year marriages get broken because of something someone didn't say or something someone didn't allow somebody to be aware of. Deanna Robinson, our Facebook viewer, says, LOL, don't give it all in the honeymoon stage, but sometimes divorce is needed and healing. Yeah, absolutely, you know. And the honeymoon stage is just like, you know, 3 months, 6 months, as you get to know this individual, then you can share these inner truths. You can express yourself, you know, as much as, you know, feasibly possible. Everybody's not going to accept everything. Everybody's not going to agree with everything. And that's understood. But at the same, you can't say, I didn't tell you. That's how I look at it, you know. I told you, and I want you to understand. And I, like I said, I love you enough, and I value the relationship enough to tell you the truth. And we find this with infidelity. We find this with relationships with infidelity when are some type of conflict in family. We find this when people were not proactive in their thinking, which means telling someone at the right, appropriate time. What we do, we hold things too long. That's our problem. We hold things too long, thinking that it's okay.
Yeah, we've got a caller. I guess we can take
okay,
the call.
Okay, go right
ahead. Every code 773-263, Grand Rising. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments. 773-263, your mic is open. Check your mute. 773-263, did you mean to press 1 or was that an accident? Okay, well, we'll come back to them. They perhaps pressed 1 inadvertently.
Okay.
But, you know, I think that it's a difficult decision to end a marriage, especially when it's been long-term. And sometimes the reason why it is being held together, you know, might be gone, such as people who find that they don't really get along, but they have several children, and after 5 years, it's like, okay, well, we got these 3 children. Well, let's just tough it out. But then they maybe after that last child leaves the nest, it's like, you know, why am I still with you? I really don't like you. So I don't know. I mean, those are personal decisions people make, but I think sometimes if there's enough where you like each other enough, but there are things that irritate you, if people can care enough to perhaps rethink, okay, this is a little thing they're asking me to do, and if it pleases them, perhaps I can do that. Or if people feel like, no, this is how I am, and you don't like it, tough. You know, how do people learn that art of compromise so that they can be honest and they can reveal when something is unpleasing and say it in a pleasant way so that it doesn't elicit a negative response? Is that a skill? Is that a tool? Is that a way that people learn how to communicate so that they don't create more pain by being honest?
Right. Well, most people respond to a negative situation negatively. Because, like I said, opposites, you know, don't always attract but it's the same things, you know, whatever, you know. So again, you have to have a high will tolerance to unsettling disappointment. And that's something, again, that's practiced. Everyone doesn't have a high will tolerance. Some people, like I said, they go off because they feel that you're violating them in some way, so they're just going to just spurt out, you know, whatever it is. And I mean, and you can do and say what you need to say without being detrimentally hurtful to another human being. You say, well, they hurt me. I want to hurt them back. I want, you know, how dare they even try to even come to me in that fashion, you know? But who is the bigger person? Mm. Who's the bigger person? You see what right. I'm saying? Because if you're coming on the same platform, ain't nobody the bigger person.
Right. You're both small. Yeah.
But, you know, and all the energy is going to do is transfer from one to the other,
back
go back and forth like a pendulum,
like a ping pong game, just going back
exactly.
and forth.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So, you know, again, it's all about what you believe.
Absolutely.
And I've learned that core beliefs from childhood memory is associated with how we react to our here and now.
Childhood memory.
Someone said, someone made you feel, someone told you, someone cut you down, someone spoke against you.
And that
someone
person,
took you for granted, okay? All right, so that is still in your subconscious mind. And guess what you do? You have built up what they call a tolerance, what they call a low will. That's a high will. High will tolerance is that you have a tolerance for a lot of things. No, not patience, tolerance.
Tolerance, that's different.
That's totally different. Totally different, you know? And that high will tolerance keeps you in a posture where you can look at it from a different lens, respond from a different plateau in your mind. And, you know, because you got that low tolerance, which is what they call low tolerance means high temper. Okay? Low tolerance means high temper. High tolerance means low temper. So you will know the benefit.
Interesting.
Okay.
We'll reflect on that for a moment. We got to take our last break.
Absolutely.
And we'll be right back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. If you're on our switchboard now, press 1 so your number lights up and we can open your mic and get your thoughts on today's edition of Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. We'll be right back in a moment, so stay with us.
Blood test and food plan, Susan Essentials will help your business, your family, and you eliminate toxins and create a step-by-step plan to nourish your mind, body, and spirit. Click here to learn more.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy. the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Viata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
With Dr. Debbie Green, and I'm Dr. Debbie Green with our wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer. And our topic, we're finally lining it up, is called Proactive Thinking and Living for 2022. Mm-hmm. So we've given you all types of strategies. We've given you different ways of thinking, different ways of approaching certain situations. But please remember something. The most important component in life is you. Okay?
Absolutely.
You are the most component. I mean, and we don't give ourselves enough credit. We don't give ourselves enough time. We give away everything, you know, out of our being. We give away the time. We give away so much. But what is left for you in your reservoir?
Absolutely.
What's left for you in your reservoir? You only have a 100% of yourself. So if you've been giving away that 100% to your outside world, there's a good chance that you are feeling depleted right now.
Yes.
And if you are feeling depleted, this is the reason why. Mm. Please take some time for yourself. Yes. Set aside some habits that need to be changed. Get pen and paper. Look at your life from the outside in and the inside out. Find out what you can do to be proactive with your life, because we only get one opportunity to live. We don't have a trade-in, y'all. You're not like a car. You can go trade it in and get a new one. You got to take care of that mind. You got to take care of that heart, that body, you know. I mean, and I'm saying this because I know I myself had to go through it. I'm still doing my little inventory stuff, you know, to make sure that I'm not repeating any unnecessary cycles.
That's the key thing, that life goes in cycles. And if you examine your life from birth until this point, you can actually see cycles. You can, and they might be, you know, 4-year cycles, 6-year cycles, 8-year cycles, 3-year cycles, whatever. But you can see a repetitive cycle in your own life. And once you can figure that out, especially if you're going through a cycle of things that you don't like to keep repeating, whether it's relationships that are hurtful or behaviors and habits you can't get rid of, whatever the cycle is, if you can figure it out, you can figure out how to change it. And I do want to say and give our listening and viewing audience a chance to join us this Saturday. We're going to start at 11 o'clock on the Female Solution Facebook page and continue on at 12 noon with Success Strategies with Jana as we launch our 2022 year-long campaign, Pushing for Peace. And we're going to share with you people, organizations, companies, groups from around the world who are putting things in motion to help people, first of all, with that self-transformation, and then spreading that to their surrounding area, their community, their nation, the world. But the important thing is that we begin the process,
yes,
knowing that the end result is to have an enjoyable life that's peaceful, that is fulfilling, and that is stress-free. We can create that, but it first begins with what is within. So this self-examination step is critical. You have to look at yourself. What we tend to do is think, well, if this person will change what they're doing, if this person will stop doing that, and that person will stop doing that, and we get frustrated because you can't change anybody but yourself. And when we take back our power to respond to our environment, we really do empower ourselves to change it. That has to be what we understand is the means to change the self. And when we grasp that reality, then we become empowered to manifest the change around us. So we're looking forward to you all joining us this Saturday. And, of course, you got to tune in tomorrow for Health and Wellbeing with Viata. It says, yes, yes, beliefs are driving everything. And that's one of the first things. When we change our beliefs, then we can change everything that evolves from those beliefs, especially if we're holding negative beliefs about ourselves. Because we got to realize this is what we keep recycling. It's what we're believing about ourselves. If we believe we're defective, we believe we're incompetent, if we believe we're not good enough, if we believe that we're a victim, whatever we believe, we keep creating. So first change the beliefs and develop empowering beliefs, and then keep reinforcing those empowering beliefs to yourself and watch the change manifest on the outside.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because remember, whatever you believe for yourself, you're going to believe for someone else as well.
Because yeah,
you're looking through a defective lens.
Yeah.
If your lens is defective about who you are, you can't see the truth in no one else.
Right. Got to clean that lens.
Clean that. That's why I get you some
Windex and tissue and, you know, clean that lens. See clearly.
You deserve it. You are worthy. Yeah. You are valuable. You are so, no, you don't need to, let me tell you something. You don't have to have no one's validation at all. Not your mother's, your father, your sister, your brother, your husband, nobody, not even a dog and cat, okay? You don't need no one's value. That's our problem. We're always looking to be validated.
Yes. I think
somebody, you got another caller?
Yeah, I think area code 773-263
is ready. Okay, let's take that before I say my final thoughts. Go ahead.
Okay. 773-263, Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your thoughts.
Hello?
Yes, hello? We hear you now.
I tuned in. I was just listening. But you are absolutely right, and I'm really enjoying the show.
Steve from, wherever you're living now, it was Indiana. I don't know if it's Chicago now. somewhere on the earth. Yeah, thank you,
Rusty. I'm well and enjoying listening to your show, and I agree to mostly everything that the both of you spoke on. So basically, that's what was happening. I don't know how I tuned in.
Well, Rashida, tell us of a time when you actually had to be in control of yourself because someone else was out of control, and maybe they were angry, and you had to be the one that was calm and self-managed. And how did that incident turn out?
Well, actually, I'm a responsive person, so I made a mistake by responding, but then when I learned that wasn't the way to approach it, I just let them vent whatever they were going to vent. And then if I had the opportunity later on, I would speak on it. If not, I'll just contain myself, you know, and don't be as quick to respond to the outburst or the negative situation, because people, I observe that people usually have a tendency to make it worse, you know, to accelerate it when you are instant to respond to a negative action. So that's been my situation, because my emotions and the hurt that I felt when I was aggressed or, you know, had that type of disagreement, I would verbalize or, you know, say something, you know, not to demean the person, but to let them know how I felt. But people usually, if they are aggressive like that, and it only accelerates if you, you know, react the same way. That's what I learned. But the best way to deal with it is, you know, just I feel that way now. It's just to sit back and observe, and then do, you know, some type of analytical assessment of what they're doing, and then respond. You know, as it's been said, slow to anger and quick to slow down. You know, because if you anger while they anger, or you respond negative while they respond, you can't get but a negative. You know, and that's what had been my experience.
Yeah, I think that is commendable to recognize that one has had that. I know I've mentioned this to the audience several times. I had to overcome a hot temper. And, you know.
I have never thought that.
And it was a challenge because you realize that your response is actually like pouring gasoline on a fire. You know, you're not putting it out.
Exactly.
You're escalating and making it spread. And so I had to change my thinking because I was of the thought, I'm not going to let you say that to me. I'm not going to let you do this to me. You know, I'm going to, you know, hit back. So, you know, because what happens is, and as Dr. Debbie has been telling us, you know, when you have these things that become a part of you as a result of childhood triggers, maybe bullied as a child or teased as a child or some kind of way that you felt attacked. So you learn how to be defensive, and then you learn how to be offensive. I'm going to attack you before you attack me. And that becomes a personality trait where you become aggressive. Mm-hmm. And in that stage of thought, you can't respond to someone calmly because you're always in attack mode. You're always in warrior mode. Everything is a fight. And this is a way of thinking that has to be changed if you're going to really change your circumstances. There is no battle. It's only the battle within you.
That's right.
So it took me, you know, and of course I was married 20 years before my husband transitioned. And, you know, that was a good experience for both of us in learning how to address and resolve those wounds that we, over, you know, in the earlier stages of the marriage, were manifesting at each other. So you really do have to assess why you're behaving as you're behaving, not thinking, well, if they will stop doing this, then the problem will go away. No, their behavior is not the problem. Our response to their behavior is the problem.
Exactly. Exactly. And then another thing that I had to experience, you know, my father was a career man in the military, so I had never had a man to holler at me or call me out my name or chastise me. So I was always, like, on the defense because I never, you know, I never experienced that. And it was piercing when it happened. You know, I never had my father would talk to me about issues, but never hollering and screaming and act like he going to hit me. So that made me instantly, you know, defend myself. But then I learned that people are who they are, and I have to, you know, be who I am, but not aggressive or respond instantly to aggression because it never broke. So that was my experience, you know.
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing that, Rashida. You know, I think it's really challenging if you are in a relationship and it's something different than what you have experienced. They say most of the time women will choose someone who reminds them of their father. Certain traits. I know that I've done that. Many people have done that. But then that person might have some other traits that you have never seen in your father. Like if you had a mild-mannered father and then you end up with somebody who's got an explosive temper and you've never seen anger at the point of violence, you don't even know how to respond to that. So how does a person, because, you know, many of us have been through situations where you get involved with someone and maybe even marry someone, and then you say, well, I didn't know you were like that. I didn't see that side of you. So how do you know when the thing that becomes apparent in someone that you didn't see before the marriage, how do you decide if that's a point of incompatibility where the relationship needs to end, or is that something you need to adjust your behavior to, or is that something that needs maybe some serious counseling to resolve? How can you tell?
Well, first of all, it depends on what it means to each individual. Like some people, you know, you have couples that some want to go to counseling, some don't, right? Mm. So everybody has to be on one accord. When everyone is on one accord, then again, we can examine these issues and then bring solutions for them. Not answers, but solutions. Mm. But the only way you're going to find a solution, you have to look at the root cause. Mm. So the roots have to be revealed. You got to find out your why. Why am I doing this? What is it that I want to accomplish? What has caused this before? Yeah. And why is it still going on? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you examine those roots, pull those roots up, look at them from a three-point angle, which is how did it affect me mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or whatever, and you share that with that individual and say, do we want this to go on? Do we want this to continue? Because if we don't want this to continue, that means we need to go back all the way back to, like I say, the drawing board,
mm-hmm.
and we have to look at it. How can we live a productive life with each other? Or we can make a decision and move on.
Right.
So
right.
There's no gray shaded area in that. You can pretend that it's not there, but eventually it's going to come to the light and bite you.
I think that's the most challenging thing is making that decision.
Yeah.
You know, if we don't want this to continue, then either we have to make adjustments in behavior or split, you know. And what I've observed that when people make a decision to split is because neither party is choosing to make adjustments in behavior. So
absolutely.
There is no other alternative at that point.
And they think it's the bigger person. Okay, I'm the bigger person. you know.
And the bigger person.
I refuse to allow this to, you know, to keep happening. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? And, but the thing about it is you can leave and not deal with it, you know, but guess what's going to happen? Whatever is the unfinished business that's inside of you, in your next relationship,
it will surface. Right.
That's why we can't run away from life. Life is not designed for us to run. It's, we cannot avoid. We cannot deny. You can do it for a period of time, but eventually it's going to come right in your face when you're going to have to handle it.
Mm.
Because that's the way it is. You know, our Creator has designed life not to put us at a disadvantage, but put us at an advantage because He wants us to understand how to deal with the here and now and how to figure it out, find the solutions and strategies that work for us. And then so if it ever comes again, anything similar to it, we will react to it differently. If you notice, when you start reacting to it differently, that thing stops happening.
Right. Because that's what you needed to learn how to do. That was
correct.
The purpose of that experience.
Know this.
Right.
Dr. Dev said, don't avoid because it's going to keep you annoyed.
Absolutely. Yes.
Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Please be encouraged. You know, this is your time. This is the new year. And we can't drag old things into the new year because you got to make room for the new stuff.
Yes.
There's a whole lot of new things that's going to happen.
Yes.
And those new things come with your ability to recognize your fullest opportunity to go into your higher self. Some people are going to write books this year.
Yes.
Some people are going to open new businesses this
yes.
year. Some people are going to get married in this year. There's a lot of things that's going to happen. It's wonderful. So, I mean, there's going to be some stuff that's not so wonderful. But in the midst of it all, we count it joy, okay? Because guess what? At the end of the day, when you lay your head on that pillow, if you have not lived your highest self or your highest life, you do yourself such a disjustice. Don't do that to yourself.
Right.
Get ready to live, not just survive or exist. Live.
Live. All right. There we go. Live.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you as always. Happy New Year.
Yes.
We've come to the end of our show today, so you can hear every
That's
show
right.
in
All
the archive at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution.
You can also follow today's show on the Female Solution
Facebook page.
Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimahlatif.com. That's www.naimahlatif.com.
I want everyone that is going to help us on our team.
Listen to our radio show.
Just jump on in and give something to us.
And be sure to get your copy of the book,
The Female Solution.
On behalf of our team of
Reeling, that's what we're here.
I'd like to thank all of you guys.
All right.
Bye, Vienna.
And to
thank
our
you
global
so much.
Family, listening from all around
you.
The world,
we said
thank
you. I won't be working.
All right.
That's it. Okay, love.
India.
We'll talk to you later because I got to go in too. I'm going to stay today.
All right. Save a life.
Kamsanda.
Save it.
Russia. Spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland,
yes.
Jean
France,
merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.